Did you really read all those books, or is it just to make an impression?
My sisters love those books. I really think you might like them. And I'm willing to be directed as well.
والكافي تهذيب استبصار من لا يحضره الفقير.
How much are you familiar with the books in the bookshelves of the Muslim libraries in the world?
You're listening to the program Bookshelf on RIB English Radio with Brother Hussein, a book lover and a student of Tarbiyat Mudarris University of Tehran.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad to our wonderful listeners and the avid readers across the world. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. We're all on a journey full of twists and surprises, some pleasant and some not so pleasant. But the destination is the afterlife. We would be fools to think that we have anything more in this earthly life other than to prepare provisions for our afterlife. But we're humans. We're smart. And the smartness comes at the price of doubting everything. So in addition to our innate capabilities, I mean the smartness, we need external guidance too. External guidance can come from numerous sources. We're all familiar with the prophets and imams and Muslims with high religious status. I'm not talking about worldly ranks like kings and presidents. I mean those who are genuinely high achievers in religion as seen by God. We learn how to go through this journey by referring to the prophet, not only what he said, but also what he did. Sometimes these narrations take the form of stories. Stories play a great role in guiding mankind. An entire chapter of the Quran is called stories, al-qasas, or narratives, and the holy text is full of stories to guide the people. Chapter Yusuf, for instance, is the story of Prophet Yusuf's life. The Quran tells us to pay heed to history, and history is a series of stories. Every tradition and belief lives through history and influences generations by convincing them to believe in its stories. So, stories work. They influence us by giving us the ability to relate to the people in the story. We're outside the story, so we don't feel like we are being judged or unfairly criticized. In the absolute privacy that we have in our minds, we understand the truth, away from all our biases, reservations, and need to feel protected. No one can harm us there. No one can misuse what we say there. We are fair in that secure privacy, and so it becomes easy for us to see what the truth is. By listening to the right stories, we can reflect upon ourselves and correct ourselves if needed. I'll introduce the book after the break, so stay tuned.
7 barometric pressure.
We come to you, and O God, knowing that thou art our only king.
Stay tuned to the program Bookshelf on IRIB English Radio.
You're back on IRIB English Radio, broadcasting from Iran, and this is Bookshelf. We were talking about how effective stories are and how it's important to read the right stories. Today we want to introduce a book that has gathered stories from the Prophet's life in 90 pages, designed for us to read, pause, contemplate, and reflect upon ourselves. Anecdotes for Reflection by Sayyid Ali Akbar Sadaqat, published by the Islamic Education Board of the World Federation of KSIMC, can be downloaded for free from al-islam.org. The World Federation of Khoja Shia Ithna Ashari Muslim Communities has existed for over 30 years. With 125,000 community members worldwide, they aim to support poor communities until they become self-sufficient and also support disaster-stricken communities. They also support religious dissemination and authors and translators. According to their website, they have supported over 125,000 students, some 5,000 pupils, and approximately 360 students for higher education until now. Today's book, Anecdotes for Reflection by Sayyid Ali Akbar Sadaqat, comes in 90 pages, and the contents are knowledge, deeds, food, pride, anger, Quran, helping others, malice, and sins, and so many other topics. We're going to take a short break, and you might be able to download this book in the meantime from al-islam.org. In particular, I have part 4 of this book in front of me. The book is called Anecdotes for Reflection. We'll read a short excerpt when we're back.
Why do we read books in the first place? What are books good for?
We read books because we don't want to reinvent the wheel, if you will.
We'd better take advantage of human cultural and intellectual heritage, particularly related to our daily activities, such as our physical, mental, spiritual, or even religious health.
We can't ignore the past thoughts and experiences. To do so, we need to boost our bookshelf.
We're back, and this is IRIB English Radio, broadcasting from Iran, War Bookshelf. The book we want to read today is a collection of inspiring stories and narrations that we can use to reflect about ourselves. The book is called Anecdotes for Reflection by Sayyid Ali Akbar Sadaqat, and I'm going to read chapter 67, Obscene Language. If you have the book, we're on page 31. Allah the Wise has said, "And do not abuse those whom they call upon besides Allah, lest exceeding the limits they should abuse Allah." The Holy Prophet, peace upon him and his holy progeny, said, "Surely Allah does not like obscene language and abusiveness." Utterance of vulgar, reprehensible, and dirty things is referred to as obscene language. One who speaks obscene language lacks modesty and shame and possesses a tongue that is filthy and impure. Obscene language is prohibited and its evil effects are numerous. It ought to be realized that evil acts manifested by a person externally is indicative of evil that exists within him internally. God does not approve of obscene language, and hence a true mu'min can never be foul-mouthed. Obscene language is an offshoot hypocrisy, and shaitan, by means of this vice, seeks to develop a friend for himself. Of course, there are ways by means of which man can protect himself from using obscene language, such as binding himself by means of vows and oaths, staying away from foul-mouthed individuals, engaging in the remembrance of God, reciting lofty supplications, ethical poems, and the likes. Amr ibn Nu'man Ju'fi relates, Imam Sadiq had a companion who used to constantly accompany him wherever he would go and never separate from him. Once when the Imam was traveling to a place, this person together with his slave also joined the Imam. In the course of this journey, the person looked around but saw that his servant was not to be seen. 3 times he looked for him but failed to locate him. On the 4th try he found him. As soon as his eyes fell upon him, he yelled out in anger, "O son of an adulteress, where have you been?" As soon as these words reached the ears of the Imam, he slapped his forehead and said, "Subhanallah, you have ascribed an evil act to his mother. All along I had regarded you as a pious individual. However, now I have realized that you have no piety. May I be made your ransom, but his mother is of the polytheists, and so there is nothing wrong in the allegation," said the man, trying to justify the statement. The Imam remarked, "Do you not know that every community has its own customs of marriage which need to be respected? Go away from me." The narrator of this tradition comments, "From that day onwards, I never saw him in the company of the Imam for as long as they were alive." Osama ibn Zayd was one of those who had been set free by the Holy Prophet, and about whom the Holy Prophet said, "He is of those individuals who I am particularly fond of and is one of the pious ones from amongst you." Just before his death, he appointed Osama, despite his young age, as the commander of the army. It has been reported that one day Osama was engaged in prayer in the Prophet's mosque near the grave of the Holy Prophet. In the meantime, since a person had died, the people approached Marwan ibn Hakam, the ruler of Medina, to lead the funeral prayers for the deceased. He arrived, led the prayers, and was on the way out when he observed Osama standing near the door of the house of the Holy Prophet, still engaged in his prayers. Realizing that he had not participated in the funeral prayer that he had led, a greatly offended Marwan spoke out, "That's all the time I have." So if you want to know what the offended Marwan spoke out and what happened in the rest of the story, unfortunately you're going to have to get the book yourself. It's okay, you can download it for free from al-islam.org. The book is called Anecdotes for Reflection. As for me and the whole team here on Bookshelf, until next week, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.